COO, San Francisco, by the baby.
Shiba shiba. Shiba shiba. Shiba shiba.
Let me in.
Shiba shiba.
I wanna be closer to you.
Shiba shiba.
Open up your soul.
Shiba shiba.
Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your love.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello. Welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. The holiday season is here, my friends, and there's going to be so many things to enjoy for you, your family, your friends, your kids, your dog, whomever. There are a lot of things to be enjoyed. One of the things that happens, I want to say, what is it, like 30 years now? Or
40. 40.
40 years now has been the San Francisco's production of the Dance Along Nutcracker. Here to talk about it from the San Francisco Pride Band, Doug Litwin. Welcome.
Hi, Marilyn. Thanks for agreeing to do this.
Oh, no. It's my pleasure. Now, 40 years? Really?
Really.
That's crazy.
The show started in 1985, and it was not my idea, although I was there. A few people from the band organization said, let's try something different. And the idea originally was to have a version of the Nutcracker for adults, for the LGBTQ plus community, where adults could act like children, go to see a Nutcracker performance and participate. Get up and dance every now and then and be a part of the show.
Okay.
And it just ironically, the first rehearsal I ever attended after joining the band was a few months before that in September of 1985. It was the first rehearsal for the first Dance Along Nutcracker.
Okay.
So I've been to all of them.
Wow. And what was that like? Was there a lot of leather?
Leather? No, not at all. It was interesting. It was for the gay community, as we called it back then. And it was very cute, and it was great. And the shows were all in the evening. And then after about the early 90s, mid-90s, we observed that the audience started to change from all adults to more parents with kids would start showing up. And we thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not really who we were targeting. And we went with the changes. It's what the people seem to want, this kind of organic evolution. And the show now is mostly kids. And instead of having evening shows, three of our four shows are matinees. And as you know, being the choreographer and actor in how many shows now?
Oh, I started in like 2015.
Okay, so 10 years ago. It's amazing to see all the kids. So it's evolved completely, but it's still a favorite.
And they're super adorable. It's like watching puppies and kittens, like, you know, scuttle around. They're pretty
cute. It
is,
and the word is out, and people write to us months ahead of time saying, what's this year's show about? What's the theme? Because, as you know, we come up with a new show every year. This one is no exception. And because kids want to know so they can come dressed up already in some kind of a costume or get up that is holiday, it's ballet, but it's also consistent with the current theme of the show.
So for listeners who maybe it's going to be their first time, explain how the Dance Along Nutcracker is different from other nutcrackers.
Okay. Well, I just took a phone call this morning because my phone number is on a lot of the press releases from a woman. She said, I want to bring my granddaughter to the show. We've never been. And she had some of the same questions. And I explained that it is the music from the Nutcracker, which we perform along with other music that's holiday or consistent with the theme, which this year is Wicked. And there's about eight different moments during the show when the big sign flashes above the stage to tell the audience to get ready to dance along.
Oh.
And then the kids and the adults start getting out of their seats. And then the cast, there's a whole show with a storyline and cast. You're one of the members. And at one point in the cast, in the show, one of the actors or actresses says, "Hey, it's time for another dance. Why doesn't everybody get up?" And people do. And at that point, the band plays one of the movements from the Nutcracker. They're all fairly short dances.
Mm-hmm.
And people get up and dance along and live out that childhood ballerina fantasy. And then afterwards, sometimes we have a little trouble getting them to sit down again so the show can go on, but that's how it works. So throughout the show, there may be seven or eight different opportunities to get up and dance.
Now, have you ever had people who came as children who are now bringing their kids?
Oh, yes. After 40 years, we've definitely had that happen, multi-generational. People who were there as kids with their parents now are bringing their kids to it, or maybe even grandparents. I don't know. But, yeah, that's very cool to see.
And you've been doing it for 40 years. Now, when I came in, my first show was actually The Wizard of Oz. So here we are 10 years later, and we're doing Wicked, which is, you know, Wizard of Oz influenced.
That show was called The Nutcracker of Oz
because
it was based on The Wizard of Oz. And we do that with a lot of our themes, and we've had themes all over the spectrum, if you can just imagine. I can rattle some off. But this year, Wicked is now enjoying, you know, extreme popularity with the movie from last year and the brand new one that just opened 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah, I saw it.
We said, oh, you saw it?
I saw it Saturday.
Okay. Well, you can critique it if you like, but this year's show is about this. It's kind of recycling the same theme, but it's based much more on the Wicked storyline, not literally the Wizard of Oz.
Was it Gregory Maguire? Or?
Yeah, you'll hear music from Wicked, you'll hear music from The Wizard of Oz, and you'll hear music from The Wiz, that famous Broadway musical based on all of this. So you'll hear all of that music and more.
So last year was Pete's last year. He retired as a conductor.
The artistic director of the concert band. Yeah, he has retired now.
Okay, so right now you have an interim conductor?
Yes, we have been, we knew at least a year and a half ahead of time that Pete Nowlin was going to be wrapping up his career. We had a big farewell concert for him in April of this year, and we started the search process. And it was a lengthy process. We wanted to do it correctly. And we had two finalists, and they each did what we call a mini concert, a short concert, one in August, one in September, and or was it early October? Anyway, they each did a mini concert, and then the band discussed it and voted, and we chose one person. But the dance song Nutcracker needed to be continue to move along on a parallel track. So this year we have a guest conductor who's doing it. His name is Mike Wong. If the name is familiar, he's the artistic director for our marching and pep band. And he's been around the band a long time. He joined as a teenager. Didn't even know how to march, but he learned. And he's been in 25 of the dance long Nutcrackers. So he's very well qualified for the job.
He's the cardboard cutout when you go see the dance along Nutcracker.
He has appeared in two dimensions in the show and three dimensions once or twice. But he's leading the show this year, and our new artistic director for the concert band will begin in beginning of January.
Okay.
And his first concert will be in April at the Herbst Theater.
Now, how far in advance do you know what your theme is going to be for each show?
We plan. We like to plan further than we further in advance than we actually achieve. I would say we know the theme generally about a year in advance, and we're all volunteers, and we have a team of creative team that massages the script and puts it all together. Mm-hmm. I would say in a typical year, we have the script done about 6 months ahead of time.
Okay.
And it continues to evolve slightly, and then we bring in the actors and the actresses, and we have a lot of continuity there. Some people have been in the show as a performer, an actor, for 9 or 10 years, including this year, including you.
Okay. Yeah. So this year's theme is Wicked, and I know so Zelda Kozlowski is the Sugar Plum Fairy, and Evan Kaminsky is Uncle Drosselmeyer.
Yes.
You've got a lot of regulars.
And a few new members.
And a few too. New members. And how did you find those new members, by the way?
We have a production team, the creative team that writes the show. We have our production manager, and I'm not sure exactly how they found each cast member.
Mm-hmm.
We have a director for the show. Alan Sawyer, and a music director. And I suppose it's all based on word of mouth among all of those people. And these new members emerged.
Now, let's talk about the makeup of the band, because every time I come in, I see some young, fresh faces. And it's been around for 40 years. So how do you get these fresh faces to come into the band?
Well, the band itself was formed in 1978, The band is 47 years old, going on 48. We're already talking about making plans for our 50th anniversary in 2028. And the band recruits, we recruit generally by existing. You know, we're out there, we're performing in the community all the time. Word gets out. We live in a social media world now, in the internet world, and our website, our Facebook, our Instagram. If you go on YouTube and type in Dance Along Nutcracker, you'll see a lot of videos from previous shows. But we also are actively out in the community at street fairs like Castro Street Fair. At Pride, we always have a booth, and we just play, I don't know, 40 different community events during a typical year. And at every one of those, you never know when you're going to be seen by somebody who says, "That looks like fun. How do I join?"
Right. Oh, that's okay. That's pretty great. So you've got the Dance Along Nutcracker coming up. Steve Bollinger was the person who was the music director. In the past, it had been Joe Wicht way back in the
times,
past.
Yeah.
You know, and now we've got the super talented Steve. And when is the show?
I thought you'd never ask. Well, it's coming up Saturday, December 6th, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And then Sunday, December 7, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Okay.
As you could see, three of the four shows are matinees to accommodate our young audience that tends to come every year. And this is all at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts Forum, which is 701 Mission Street at 3rd. It's right in the middle of the Yerba Buena Gardens.
Right. And like I always refer to the 7 o'clock show. I call it the booze one, but it's not really a booze one, is it?
No,
it's more like for the grown-ups.
There is a bar that is run by the theater people that's in the lobby of the theater, so adult beverages will be for sale there. There in the past we have altered that show a little bit by throwing in a few new lines of dialogue that are more adult-oriented that the kids might not get. But I don't think we're doing that this year.
I know. All right. So the show is December 6th and 7th. How do people get tickets?
They go to dancealongnutcracker.org. .org, and there'll be all the information about the show is there, including a link to tickets right up top. And lots of other information. You asked about people who have never been. And there's a whole section there about what to expect, how to prepare. And the weather forecast is supposed to be good.
Oh, yay.
And sometimes it rains. And everything should be there, including if you go all the way near the bottom of that page, it talks about the history of the show. And there are pictures of all of the program covers for the past 40 years. And you can click on any of them and see the entire program, but you really will see the breadth of creativity that this show has had. It would be so much easier for us if we did the same show every year. you know, just like most ballet companies and orchestras, they do the same show every year. I'm sure they're bored of it. The audience seems to want it. But we have to do something original every year, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, with that, Doug Litwin, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us, Marilyn.
You're welcome.
See you at rehearsal.
You will. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out the Dance Along Nutcracker. The kids are super cute, and it, you know, it puts a smile on your face every single time. The theme is wicked, so you know what that means.
I'm limited. Just look at me. I'm limited, and just look at you. You can do all I couldn't do, Linda. So now it's up to you, for both of us. Now it's up to people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes a sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I have been changed for good. It well may be that we will never meet again lifetime. So let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you. You'll be with me like a handprint on my heart. And now whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend. Like a ship blown from its mooring by a wind off the sea, like a sea dropped by a sky bird in a distant wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I know you, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. And just
you're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That's Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel, and For Good from the Wicked original Broadway musical. Hey, there's so many fun things happening. There's a show that's happening that's right up my alley. It is called, what is it called? A Very Hitchcock Christmas. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Jonathan Josephson. Welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit about A Very Hitchcock Christmas.
Sure. A Very Hitchcock Christmas is the annual holiday show put on by Playground in San Francisco. We're based at Potrero Stage in Potrero Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, A Very Hitchcock Christmas features a bill of short plays that are adaptations / satire / lampoons of Hitchcock films that somehow incorporate holiday Christmas themes, characters, stories, mashups, and it makes for an evening of this year's five short plays that is great for people who love Hitchcock, people who love the holidays, people who want to have fun. It's comedic with a little bit of Hitchcockian intrigue, but it's definitely more fun than anything else.
So what are the five Hitchcockian shorts that you're doing this year?
So this year we have a couple of world premieres, and then we're also bringing back some favorites from past Hitchcock Christmas seasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that's being revived is called How the Bates Almost Stole Christmas, mm-hmm. by J.S. Poehler, directed by Peter J. Kuo. And as you can probably imagine, that one has both a little bit of Psycho and a little bit of How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Ah, okay.
And that's all I'll say about that one, because there's a lot of fun, and it uses language in a really clever way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that's being brought back is actually written by me. I wrote a short adaptation called The Birds Is Coming, which is a prequel of sorts to The Birds, where a bunch of birds get together to celebrate the holidays to decide what do they want to do with the future of bird kind and humankind. So that one is, I think, the only one that is actually set before the Hitchcock movie, but definitely for folks who know the film, the story of the birds and them talking to each other to figure out what they want to do will resonate.
Okay.
And then there's a few new ones. Dial M for Mary by Christian Wilburn, directed by Lana Richards, is a riff on Dial M for Murder,
mm-hmm.
Where Santa Claus is found dead, and it only gets worse from there.
Okay.
And then there's Foolproof by Kimberly Ridgway, directed by Karina Gutierrez, which is in conversation with Hitchcock's Strangers on the Train.
Mm-hmm.
Where the kid from A Christmas Story and the Grinch meet on a train, and they decide to work together to solve their mutual problems. And the last one is called Shadow of an Uncle Nick, which is by Mark Sierpinski, directed by Jim Kleinman, who Jim is our artistic director.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark's adaptation is in conversation with Hitchcock's Shadow of a Doubt, and is somewhat loyal to the original story, but has a really fun Christmas twist to it. So, as you can imagine, it's a lot of hijinks. It's a lot of fun. It's a really great time for people who know the films, people who know the holiday films, or people who are just learning about them for the first time. You're given enough context that you won't be lost.
So how did this concept come about, and how long ago? Whose brainchild was this?
So this was actually a prompt for Playground San Francisco several years ago. The way that Monday Night Playground works, which is one of the main programs that the organization Playground produces, is on Monday nights, a group of playwrights are given a prompt, and they're given 4 days to write a short play on that prompt. And of the plays that are submitted, 6 are produced 4 days later, mm-hmm. in a enhanced staged reading. It's basically a fully produced show with suggested costumes, simple props and elements like that, but the scripts are being held in hand. Mm-hmm. And Playground, the organization, has been presenting these events in San Francisco. This is our 32nd season, but also in L.A. for 14 years, in Chicago now for 4 years, in New York for 5 years. All that to say that Hitchcock Christmas was a prompt in San Francisco about 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really popular as just sort of one of the events as part of the season that Jim Kleinman, the artistic director, came up with. And then 4 years ago, it was just brought up of like, wow, this was so fun when we did it years ago. What if we did it as a standalone event, fully rehearsed, off book, full lights, costume, full design, and have it really be our answer to A Christmas Carol. Like, if you don't want to do A Christmas Carol, you don't want to do Nutcracker again, which, as wonderful as those things are, here's something a little bit different, a little bit quirky, and that's a very playground style. And this year's show actually has plays written by two our San Francisco-based playwrights, two our L.A.-based playwrights. I'm based in Los Angeles, and one of the playwrights is based in Chicago. So it's really a representation of the national playground community.
Wow. So you've been doing this, what, you said 15 years, 10 years? How long?
So Playground has been in San Francisco. This is the 32nd year.
Okay, but you've been doing...
And then in L.A. for 14, yeah.
Okay. So is it all the same actors in every short, or is it different actors for each short?
It's different. There's a unique cast for each of the five plays.
Okay.
And interestingly, like my play, The Birds Is Coming, which was in last year's show, this year's show is going to have a totally different cast. It has a different director and probably a very different approach to the play and how it's going to work. Actually, I think all the actors who are in The Birds Is Coming last year are in different plays this year. And that's kind of a way that Playground likes to work, is that we have a company of actors in each city. So whenever there's a show, the company of actors, the folks who perform with us most consistently, they kind of get first shot. There's no pre-casting, but there's sort of a thought of, like, let's give our folks who we work with all the time more opportunities to get on stage, more opportunities to work.
Now, explain what the sort of mission statement is of Playground.
The mission statement?
Or why do they exist?
Sure. So Playground is a really unique organization in that it is simultaneously a play producer, specifically new plays, world premiere plays, and also a service organization for artists and playwrights, actors, directors. So we have a dual mission of uplifting and enhancing the art form, and also providing opportunities for artists and also providing professional wages for anything that we produce. So this is an example of our producing side of Playground. In addition to being a playwright, I'm also, for Hitchcock, I'm a resident playwright for the Playground LA, and I'm also the marketing director.
Okay.
So a lot of us wear multiple hats around the organization. But as a producing entity, everything is our world premieres. It's about what are the plays that aren't being seen on other regional stages, playwrights whose work is maybe being developed or even produced other places, but things that are maybe a little bit more unique or a little bit less mainstream, they're going to find a home with Playground through one of the many opportunities.
Oh, very
and
nice.
Then as a service organization, Playground also produces a series of festivals that are uncurated opportunities for people to submit projects and get their shows up on our stages. And we have a free play festival, which is basically a fringe festival, a solo festival, which is going to start in January, and then a comedy festival for the first time in the spring. And each of those festivals feature between 18 and 20 different events that run for 4 weeks. So there's a ton of presenting that we do to uplift and provide opportunities while also having an artistic identity with a producing event like Hitchcock.
So then how do you get your stable of performers and how do you choose what things you're going to put in front of an audience?
It's not an easy process, I'll tell you that. Jim, as the artistic director, has a lot of influence on the different programming, but there are also producers in every city that Playground works in, including San Francisco, who have a significant influence to say, these are plays, these are playwrights that we want to uplift. And then there's also casting directors in every city who are working with the creative teams to say who are the actors that are, of course, going to best serve the play or the project, but also looking to make sure different folks get opportunities and have a chance to stretch their legs. So there's across the country, there's close to a dozen creative staff who are paid positions who are picking the projects. And then in the summer, in the early summer, the Playground also produces a New Works Festival that is a combination of rehearsed stage readings, fully produced festival premieres, and then also a short play festival that's Best of Playground, which is specifically the best of the San Francisco season of short plays. And so those are all curated by the artistic team. For the other festivals, for the comedy festival, solo festival, free play festival, mm-hmm. it's a really a lottery system where if you're a Playground affiliate, if you are in our writers pool, one of our writers pools, if you've been an actor with us, you get priority.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the project is really up to whatever the person wants to submit. So it's having this duality of a artistic perspective that is trying to uplift plays that are not necessarily being seen other places by playwrights who should be seen by
mm-hmm.
everybody,
mm-hmm.
And giving opportunities to actors, producers, writers who just want to get their work up, and providing the space, the staff, and the support so that they can do that.
That's amazing. Now, I'm sure there are aspiring actors and writers out there who'd like to get involved with the organization. How do they go about doing that?
There's so many ways. It's very, very exciting. So if you go to playground-sf.org,
mm-hmm.
You'll see all the different programs and ways to get involved. The year-round program, Monday Night Playground, you can submit a resume and headshot if you're an actor to be considered for upcoming events.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true if anybody's listening in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles. The same is true in all four cities. And just because we haven't worked with you yet doesn't mean we don't very much want to get to know you and new people. Playwrights, there's an open submission policy for the writers pool in every city that opens up over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very in-depth review process. We get about 500 submissions a year from
wow.
playwrights, and we can only pick about 100 and 110, 120. So it's a competitive process where that has a lot of analysis and scrutiny. And then that if you're in the writer's pool, then you could submit from the Monday Night Playground season. Once one is in the Monday Night Playground season and selected for best of,
mm-hmm.
When you have one of the six best scripts of the season, then you're what Playground calls an alum. Once you're an alum, you can submit for additional opportunities, the New Works Festival, Hitchcock, the Hitchcock program, which you can also submit to if you're part of one of the writers' pool.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all the produced programs, how folks can get involved. Same thing with directors. You can submit resumes through the websites all year round. The other festivals, the uncurated festivals, we put out calls about 4 months in advance. We don't have any calls open right now, but that's literally open to anybody. All you have to do is put together a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
You describe your show, you describe your budget and your tech needs. As long as you check all the boxes, you agree to adhere by Playground's code of conduct and things like that, you can be selected to get 3 to 4 performances on our state-of-the-art theater. There's a licensing fee that goes directly to all the tech and staff that supports the festival. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
go to Playground's admin at all. We get other funding from grants and from other places. So there is a fee to participate, but those fees go to make sure that you have a stage manager. Everything we do is streamed online. And so all that staff is supporting those festival opportunities. So any artist out there should definitely go to the websites and look at the opportunities pages and drop us a line if any of this sounds intriguing.
And what is that website again?
Playground-sf.org. And if you're not in San Francisco, one of the other cities, just substitute the SF for your city's two letters, so you can drop in LA, NY,
mm-hmm.
or CH. But specifically for San Francisco, it's sf.org.
Okay, and now let's pivot back to a very Hitchcock Christmas.
Yeah.
So when does that happen, and does it happen pretty much the same time every year?
Yeah, it's been the first full weekend in December. So this year it's December 6th and 7th
mm-hmm.
at 7 p.m., one of the unique things about Playground, like I mentioned, is everything we do is also simulcast, is streamed online. So anybody can watch the show from anywhere. And if you register at playground-sf.org,
mm-hmm.
if you register for a ticket and you pick the online option, you'll actually have until the end of the year to watch it. You can watch it on demand through Vimeo. But you have to reserve a ticket. And in person at Potrero Stage, it's December 6th and 7th at 7 o'clock.
Excellent. So once again, two ways of being able to see the show. You can either go on the 6th and 7th, or you can watch it via Vimeo.
Yes, and you still have to reserve before the date, but other than that, you can stream it on demand. And that's just a union thing. It can't be made available infinitely.
Right.
You have to register. You'll get a link, and then you can watch it that way.
We live in a modern world.
Yeah. Post-COVID, everything is different with being able to see live events online.
I know. So if people wanted to find out more about the upcoming seasons and how to get involved, how do they go about doing that?
The website, our social media is also very active with a lot of stuff going on. Playground-sf.org, and you'll see everything about Hitchcock. You'll see everything about Solo Fest. You'll see everything about upcoming shows when they're announced. And, find us online, Playground-SF, Playground SF Theater. We're very friendly and happy to chat with people. That's one thing we really hang our hat on. So reach out to us, drop an email through the contact or send a message through social. We also have a director's apprenticeship program, mm-hmm. Which is specifically done for folks that are pretty recently out of school. They can shadow our directors and sort of learn our process, and a lot of people get involved that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a young playwrights opportunity also that comes up in the summer that's specifically for high school playwrights. So basically, whoever you are at whatever stage in your creative journey, we've got something that you can be involved with. The main thing is just reaching out, showing up.
Excellent. And with that, Jonathan Josephson, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's really a pleasure.
All right. People of Earth, a very Hitchcock Christmas. It's something you can check out and go have some fun with. So, you're going to want to do that. That's The Chase. It's Ben Charest from Triplets of Belleville, one of, you know, a movie I love to pieces. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, there is a show that it's about to happen. It's called SF Squares, San Francisco Squares, and the person who has put that all together is here to talk about it. I'd like to welcome the shapely and talented Dan Karkoska, a.k.a. DJ Dank. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about SF Squares. I've done it before, but I...
Yes. I mean, it's, as a matter of fact, you're going to be on to defend
your title
because you won SF Sexy Squares.
Ooh, that's right.
Which was like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's when we had the porn stars and the comedians.
Mm-hmm.
You know... Did that with Sister Roma, and she. Every time we see each other, we always go, we need another Squares, And so I thought, I've been looking for a new place to produce shows for the Cocktails Nouveau.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to the Great Star Theater, and they were really making me a great deal. And I was like, loved talking to Paul. And then I just, so we were going to try to do something at the holidays, and I realized I didn't really have enough time to put on a full production. So mm-hmm. I thought, and oh, I'd just seen Roma. And it just stuck in my head, ooh, we should do a San Francisco Squares. And so, you know, it's also, you know, basically it is a play on the classic TV game show Hollywood Squares,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Paul Lynn or Whoopi mm-hmm. Goldberg, whichever version you saw. I think the new version has Drew Barrymore as
really?
A center square. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, we decided to take that idea and transpose it back into the San Francisco milieu.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just felt it was a really great way to have some laughs, raise some money, and then talk about San Francisco and this crazy city that we live in and all these things going on. And it's a nice way to touch on some political matters or some matters within our city and not really have to, like, get all serious about it, but have some laughs and think about it.
Mm-hmm,
and that's kind
mm-hmm.
of the way I thought of it. So I kind of decided to put together this square. And so I worked on it tirelessly and came up with a really great assortment of people who I think are a good cross-section of San Francisco. But
mm-hmm.
We're going to start off with the center square, who, of course, is Lady Camden, who has been on RuPaul's Drag Race several times and is now living in San Francisco. And so she's super excited about doing it. And, of course,
okay.
we have Roma back. She
mm-hmm.
is at home right now writing questions. We keep talking to each other, coming up with new ideas.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, well, who else can I get? And I thought, well, Lee Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Crow, Elvis for Selvis. I mean, what place
Classic.
Has she not performed in San Francisco?
Yeah.
I think that'd be easier thing to do because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think she's performed everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I went back to the OGs from the first show we did and called upon Broke-Ass Stewart, who is a great commentator on our world with the journalism
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
he has a new book out and all this other kind of stuff.
I get his flyer all the time.
Oh, yes. We all get his flyers and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then another person I chose was Shane Zaldiva, who I knew from drag community for years. But, you know, she's really become involved in the trans community
mm-hmm.
issues. She is a pop-up drag queen that is out there spreading the word in front of the Ferry Building almost all the time.
I love the concept of pop-up drag queen.
Pop-up
That's
drag
amazing.
Queen. And she's up there doing it. And she
yeah.
does some really, really, you know, crazy cool stuff. And then she's also a part of the Compton's Cafeteria
Riot
show.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to have that brought into as well because that's mm-hmm. such an important part of our history and it's such
mm-hmm.
a great thing to go do in San Francisco. And then I have a really funny comedian named Shanti Charan who just cracks me up. She's a teacher as well, but there's this whole thing about her trying to like get up there and spell crystal. I forget, it was some funny word. But anyway, she just cracked me up. And
okay.
I really enjoyed her. She'll be on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to go with one of my faves, Scrumbly from the Cockettes. I mean, you know, he is OG as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the Cockettes starting in 1969, and here it is 2025, and we're getting ready to do our Christmas cabaret in December together with him. So,
wow.
You know, the fact he's still doing it, and he is so creative. Every time you give him stuff, it's just you watch those juices and blah, 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 blah. Going.
Mm-hmm.
And then to wrap it up, we got Juicy Lou, whose boy name is Michael Nguyen.
Okay.
And he is running for District 8 supervisor in the Castro now. So I was like, wow, you get a really interesting drag queen and you get somebody who's running for political office. So that's a nice touch. Then needed cannabis. I work in the cannabis world and the,
mm-hmm.
and cannabis is so important to this part of the world and is being ignored by a lot of the bigger powers that be,
mm-hmm.
Which is sad because it could be one of our big money makers. So I called upon Wayne Justman,
mm-hmm.
who is technically – the very first cannabis patient ever.
Oh,
he
really?
Is cannabis patient number one. Mm-hmm. When Prop 215 was passed, he got the very first, and he's, you know, he's part of the Dennis Perone world. And then, you know, I wanted something kind of saucy and sexy, and so I went with J.R. Top Dog. I think most people know him as J.R. He is a fantastically talented go-go dancer and performer. He's been in the Baloney shows, and he does these weekly club announcements on Instagram, just really charismatic and friendly and nice. And so, you know, that is our square of nine people with, I think, it's an interesting –
That is a powerful group of heavy hitters.
It's heavy hitters, great personalities, lots of personalities in there.
And it's not just for fun; it's also for charity.
We are raising money for charities. Basically, we have four competitors, each one representing a charity. We have you, who's going to be on for the food pantry. Mm-hmm. We have Ali Jamalian, who is the owner of Sunset Connect. If you've bought those joints before, they look like San Francisco Muni passes, the old school ones.
Okay,
and he is charisma. Off the charts. We have Olivia Brightko, who is representing the Berkeley Free Clinic,
mm-hmm.
and I think Ali is sponsoring Playas, which is I'm not sure what that one is. I have to look it up. Mm-hmm. But there are so many. I have so many things going through my mind at all time. And then our final competitor is. Who's our final competitor?
I give up.
I'll take that for 1,000, Alex.
Yeah. Smoke more pot.
No, exactly. I mean, that's the problem half the time. My gosh. But you know, each group is each person is promoting their
charity.
Oh, of course. Valentine. How can I forget Valentine?
Oh, Valentine.
We were just talking a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But Valentine, or J.A. Valentine, as he's known in the press release, mm-hmm. is a fantastic performer who can be almost any kind of creature or person or anything you can think of. He's mm-hmm. so creative. Mm-hmm. And he's also really into game shows. So he's very excited. He's going to be in serious competition for you.
Now, are there people who are so young they are not familiar with the concept of Hollywood Squares?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When I was buying all the wood and everything to be making our big giant square for the stage, I went back into Discount Builders and gave some postcards to them because they seemed pretty interested at the time.
Uh-huh.
When I came back, I handed the postcards going, oh, here, put these in your break room. You guys have helped us. We'd love to help you out and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl looked at me and goes, you've seen San Francisco. I mean, you've seen Hollywood Squares before, haven't you? And the look of utter, like, what? On her face. I was like, okay, well, no. Oh, okay, I'm going to move on, though, because I can tell that it'll be a lot of explaining to do. But just look at the thing. It'll be fun no matter what. Mm-hmm. I hope they get an idea that it will be fun. But like I said, it's currently on. I mean, you know, Drew Barrymore. So the concept has been going on. You know, realize the Hollywood Squares debuted in 1966.
Wow.
And so we have been riffing on that thing because, you know, then Whoopi Goldberg brought it back in the 90s and, mm-hmm. you know, all that other stuff. So
I remember watching Hollywood Squares as a kid, and they would make jokes that I knew they were adult in nature,
mm-hmm.
but I was too young to understand.
Oh, yeah.
like is what they're joking about? Are they saying something is good or something is bad? Like I, you know, it wasn't until I was an adult that I was able to go, oh, okay, right. That's what that joke
innuendo.
Meant.
It's tough to get sometimes when you're younger because
you knew what they were referencing.
Oh, you knew it was something dirty.
You knew, but you didn't have the understanding of like. Is that like, is 4 inches too big or too small? You don't know until you're an adult.
That is so true. That is so true. Oh, and just to back up on my brain fart, Valentine's playing for the Queer Life Space.
Okay.
And Ali is playing for United Playas, these are all really good charities. And then also, it's also part of a charity for Spectrum Theater, which mm-hmm. is a new nonprofit theater that I run. Was founded with me and Bertie Bob Watt to help create theatrical stuff to represent the history of the LGBTQ in the San Francisco and Bay Area. And it's also going to be focused on Cockette shows and mm-hmm. Cockette's revivals.
Okay.
But we also want to branch it out into other voices that need to be heard, but who are in the spirit of the Cockettes.
Very cool.
So these are all that we're giving for. It's at the Great Star Theater in Chinatown, which is a beautiful theater space. And You can buy tickets at, you know, their website at great. I think it's greatstartheater.com. Mm-hmm. And you can get a discount if you use as a code word SF squared.
Okay.
And you'll get a discount on your tickets.
All right.
SF squared.
So for SF squares, when and where and what time?
It will be this Saturday.
This Saturday.
November 29th.
November 29th.
At
my mother's
7
birthday.
P.m. Yeah, at 7 p.m. at the Great Star Theater. You know, the way I look at it is Saturday night is always after Thanksgiving. You know, you've done the turkey. You've done the tryptophan. You've done the, mm-hmm. the leftovers. Mm-hmm. You've done the family. You've done the friends. Maybe both of those things are getting on your nerves by now. And you want to get out of the house and go do something fun.
Uh-huh.
And why not do something fun that's kind of silly and unusual and really full of life and San Francisco and the holidays. This, to me, it just seems to be a great thing to do for the weekend.
So where is the theater?
The theater is on Jackson Street, right by Kearney. As a matter of fact, you kind of go around the corner and there's the Transamerica building.
So oh, okay.
It is right there, right around Kearney, and I think it's 636 Jackson. And it's just right there. So it's a beautiful space. You know, it was built in 1925 as a Peking Opera House, and technically it is the last surviving Chinese opera house left in the United States.
Really?
You learn these things when you sit around and write
wow.
90 when you sit around and write 90 questions for a quiz show.
Okay, well, maybe that gives me a leg up on one of them.
Okay.
So,
don't tell anybody where you heard it.
Okay. So once again, where can they get tickets for?
They can go directly to the website of the Great Star Theater, greatstartheater.com.
Okay. And if people want to find out more about what you're doing with charities and with the cannabis community.
Well, you can always follow me on Instagram, DJ Dank SF. And of course, on Facebook, I'm Dan Karkoska, K-A-R-K-O-S-K-A. And yeah, I got lots of stuff coming up for the holidays. I have a cabaret with Scrumbly Coldwin and Ellie Stokes and Bonnie Suval, which is called Ho 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 for the Holidays, December 20th and 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And then Caquette Nouveau had been accepted to Sketchfest.
Ooh, what's
so we will
Fest?
Be January 20th, and so there'll be more about that. Uh-huh. Hopefully you'll have me on, and we can talk all about it and get Scrumbly
okay.
on. But yes, I've been trying to get us on Sketchfest for years, and so we are on. I'm super excited about that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, DJ Dank, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, Marilyn, thank you so much for being part of my community and my world and, you know, going on all these great, crazy trips on these shows and stuff we do together. It's great having, being, you know, I've been here 21 years now, and the lovely artistic community I have here is just always so wonderful.
All right. Okay, people of Earth, there's so many things to do and see and have fun to do and see. We as San Franciscans are very lucky that we have so many talented people who want to do stuff. I'm lucky that people want to include me in things. It makes me really happy. I'm still looking for my keys if you find them. They've got a library card on them. And so I'm going to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta. And toodly-doo.
Zitto Maccherone, sono barbiero, un po' più cieco, e c'ho le palle di un grosso toro pronto. Un toro seduto, che grida un eguaio, e a cavallo su un tarallo con otro pronto. Sulla scala di Milano, un quasi napolitano, scappa senza scarpe a cavallo. Tutto lo vuole, tutto lo chiede, e lui grande coglione se ne va.